How long does the hearing last? Does it last a couple days, one day, half a day? How long do you get?
It can last long. Most of the longest I've seen has been about 3 days. They try not to let it go further than that. We're going to be working with the chairman because we want to let him know that we do have people that are experts that do want to testify, and we'd hate to just give them the 2 minutes that are usually allotted to people. Because this is really important information. So we'll be asking if they can do more like a 5 minute presentation if they need it. And so, yeah, we want to make sure that people are given adequate time, especially the ones that do have a background or expertise in this area. That's very important. So it could last a few days. It could last longer. Like I said, I've had hundreds of emails and messages in regards to this from all over, of people that want to testify, people that want to help. And it's been overwhelming, really. I still have messages on my phone that I have to get through, to try to get back to people, but it's been overwhelming, yet it's been very positive, and I'm very appreciative of it because I wasn't sure, you know, how this would be accepted. And so it's been good to hear from people, that are very positive and wanting to help this, move forward.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned about the legislature being a part-time legislature, I guess one benefit of that is that many of the elected representatives like yourself are business owners. So you would have personal experience about what you experienced in your business relating to vax mandates, mask mandates, all those things. You bring real world experience to your seat there.
Sure. Right. Well, I mean, Idaho in general, because of, the impacts of our executive branch and the things that they decided, we actually lost about 20% of our small businesses here that just had to shut up and close down because they were deemed non-essential. In my county, though, we're a little bit more rambunctious there. And so I had businesses that were contacting me, you know, asking for advice on what to do. And I would tell them, you do what you need to do to take care of your family and your business. And so we actually did have a few of them that opened before they were supposed to. They went ahead and took the fine that was given to them because it was going to be better for them to open up and take the fine than to remain closed and lose all the money in the business, with probably losing their business at the end if they remain closed. So I was there for their reopenings, to as many as I could get to, because that was their decision that they made. And I still remember a few of them, the police would come and they would find out that they were open, and they issued a informational sheet on, you know, the possibilities or the issues that might come about because they reopened. But everybody did just fine, and we were lucky that a lot of the mayors in my county were not, requiring any type of legal action or the police or anything to arrest or do anything like that. So they were not going to force the mandates that were being placed by the executive branch here onto the people. And so the businesses opened up. Some of them were fined by the state. And but yet they gathered tons of business and they're still doing very well. But in the long run, we did lose about 20% of our small businesses.
And were the I forgot what I was going to ask. In terms of there must have been some counties that were more draconian and that they,
yeah. Yes, absolutely. Idaho is kind of famous for a few things. We had one instance where there was a playground mom that was arrested for taking her kids to the playground. There was another instance more northern Idaho where they arrested a bunch of Christians that were outside worshiping and singing. So there were some other measures that were in other areas that were more draconian in nature. In fact, the playground mom, she just recently had we have a new attorney general, thank goodness. And, he sent out a letter saying that they were going to go ahead and drop everything now because there was no need to pursue this, she'd been fighting it for almost 2.5 years, and it was just getting more and more ridiculous as time went on. It was ridiculous when it happened, but even more so down 2.5 years later. And so that just recently was dropped. And yeah, but there were areas, because in Idaho, we're not all extremely conservative. There are areas that are definitely more liberal, and you saw, you know, some of the reactions that happened in those areas, and they reflected that mentality.
And so the new AG was able, I mean, basically all fines, penalties, punishments were dropped, or just most of any ones that had to do with the state imposing them?
The one that I know of for sure is the playground mom. I'm not sure about the other one with the Christians. They all got out of jail, but I think the fines and that sort of stuff, I think the state still collected because of when it happened, and our new attorney general just recently got into office. So I think a lot of those things had played out before he got in.
I see. Yeah. How about dirty tricks from the opposition? I mean, you mentioned the lobbyists, but what have you experienced or do you expect to experience? I mean, without giving the other side ideas, but.
Well, you know, like I said, the majority of people that have contacted me have been very positive. I do get a few of those really nasty messages, you know, that have a lot of explicits in it and tell you to go do things. You know, I've had some people that have been a little concerned, but, you know, I feel confident. I feel good about this. I think, like I said, there's going to be a lot of good support. And I think once the testimonies come out, it's hard to dispute people's personal experiences and to tell them that they're just crazy or what have you, because there's so many stories that are out there now. And so to try to dismiss those, I think will be very difficult. And then the experts, you know, you're always talking to people are always saying, well, have you had experts? Have you asked the experts? Well, we're going to have the experts and they're going to tell you exactly what's going on and the things that they've seen. It's still up to the individual if they want to believe them or not, but these are the experts that are going to come in and talk. So to try to dismiss their expertise is a little hypocritical when that's been the go-to for the last few years is, well, they're the experts. Trust the science, you know, that sort of thing. Well, here's the people that are on the flip side telling you they are the experts and they are showing you the science, and the science isn't adding up to what we continue to be told.
I see. Is there a representative on the House side? Would that be Representative Boyle?
Yeah.
So yep, is she doing the same thing just on the House side in terms of hearings and...
Yeah, so the process goes, so it's starting on the House side, and so it will go to for the hearing in the Health and Welfare in the House, and then it will go to the floor if it makes it out of the House Health and Welfare Committee. It'll go to the floor on the House, and then it'll come over to the Senate if it passes there. It'll go to the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, where it will have another hearing, and then if it passes out of there, then it will go to the Senate floor for a vote, and then if it passes out of there, then it goes to the governor's desk. So that's the process of the bills for both sides, the House and the Senate.
And will there be forces that want to water it down? I mean, probably shoot it down completely or water it down or poison pill it so that people don't want to vote for it?
Yeah, I would say it'd be hard to water this down because it is so short. I mean, I'll show you, this is literally how long it is. It's a very short bill. It's about a half a page, including the title. So a very, very short bill. So there's not a whole lot you can water down in it. It's very specific to what it's saying that we're banning, which is the mRNA. So there's not a lot of watering down that can, it does have a penalty in it. There might be some that want to get rid of the penalty, but I don't like to run laws that are supposed to have an impact if there's no consequence in them. So this one is a misdemeanor. So it's 6 months in jail or a fine. You know, there might be some that want to take out the penalty. But then at that point in time, for me, it's like, well, why even run the bill? Because if there's no consequences, then the law really doesn't have any impact. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still make a statement, but unless there's actual consequences, it really doesn't do anything. So I think it'll be hard for people to mess with it too much. It can always happen, but I'm pretty strong in my opinion in regards to how it stands right now. And I know Representative Boyle will be as well. So I really don't think that's going to be something that we'll have to, it might be tried, but we're not going to be persuaded.
Was it difficult to define or isolate, like, you know, set aside what would actually be, I mean, because, you know, for people that aren't doctors, in terms of what is the dangerous, you know, the mRNA type vaccines, but was it difficult to identify what would actually be prohibited?
No, not really. Basically, this is very specific. It was, and we're still calling it a vaccine just because that's what everybody pretty much knows it as. So it's a vaccine developed using messenger ribonucleic acid technology. So it's very, very specific. It uses the scientific term for mRNA. Our bodies have RNA in them, but we do not have mRNA. That's the messenger portion of it. And so that's the difference. And so it's very, very specific. It uses the scientific name. And so there, that way there's no confusion that's created for it. So very, very specific.
And as do you know, I guess just, I mean, former investigator, so I think of ways people try to get around things, but is it specific enough that it's more dealing with what the vaccine does as opposed to what it's named? Could they just change the terminology to get around it? Or,
you know, that, I mean, once something goes into law, it can always be changed. And so, you know, that could happen. They could also start coming out and saying, well, this isn't a vaccine anymore. And so then we'd have to change the terminology on that. But for right now, you know, we went with what is understood and the intent of what we're trying to do as our basis. If things need to be changed down the road, we can always go in and do that because, yeah, anytime they could say, oh, well, now we're not calling this a vaccine anymore. We're calling it, you know, something else. And then we would have to go in and change the law, change some of the wording in there.
Right.
But I think overall, I think it's pretty solid for right now. It'll always be something that we're going to watch, though. If it does indeed make it all the way through, then we'll definitely be watching it to see if anybody does try to change things on it down the road, or if something changes in society where we need to go in and make the change to the law.
Yeah, I mean, by the question, I'm more just they're snakes, as far as I'm concerned, in those industries. But, you know, the legislation is still extremely powerful, no matter whether they can play games with it later on down the road.
In Idaho, we do have on our books, they do have definitions for what a vaccine is and all that sort of stuff. So we could always just go in and change that as well. So there's lots of different ways that I guess we could approach it if we needed to.
True. Because I mean, they the pharmaceutical companies or anyone that does business in Idaho, they have to obey Idaho law, right? Just like, yep, federal law.
Yeah.
So the definitions in Idaho law would have to be changed legislatively, I imagine.
Right.
So
exactly.
They couldn't just turn around the next day and skirt around it.
Right. Exactly.
How the Representative Boyle, have you understood that is she getting the same static as you are, getting the same love as you are? What's her experience in the House as far as you know?
I just talked to her today for a little bit. We've all been focused on other things that we've been dealing with. So now that those things have come to pass, then now we have this is our next stop. So I think she's gotten probably similar emails and phone calls and that sort of stuff. Maybe not as bad because I've been kind of the one out in the forefront with it. I've done a lot of media on it. You know, putting it out there on social media and in the media, there's been a ton of articles written about it, about us in here in Idaho doing this. There's been a lot of visibility. And so I'm sure she's gotten some too, but not anything that she's really brought up to me that's been too bad. What we've really been doing is just really hunting for articles and for people to come testify. That's been a really big focus because we want to have that all lined up so that it's ready to go when we have our hearing date. So that's been our main focus with that, is just gathering the information, because there's more and more information coming out all the time on this issue. As things progress in other countries and in the states, we're just getting more and more information all the time on the problems that are actually occurring because of this. So we just continue to try to gather that information so that we'll put packets together to have articles and everything for the committee to be able to look at while we're talking about it. Because, you know, those are your facts. That's your information. That's all your stuff that's right out there, that's out in the media. And we're not getting, you know, this information from, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy type stuff. These are from news networks, actual governmental entities, other countries, you know, like I said, Florida with their Surgeon General coming out on that information. So these are legitimate articles and news sources that we're utilizing. And so that's just kind of been where we've been focusing, is to gather that information so that we have good substantive information that is fact checked, that's based in facts, to be able to give out to the committee for them to look at.
Mm-hmm. What would you say has been the most ridiculous hit piece that you've been hit with in the media?
Oh, goodness. there's probably been a few. Forbes had one out that was kind of interesting, you know, trying to label everything more conspiracy theory. But I'd say that one, I can't even tell you all the different ones that have been out there. Again, most have been very, very positive. There's been a few podcasters and bloggers that have had some stuff out that are like, these people are nuts. There was one that really cracked me up. I don't even know who the guy is. Somebody sent it to me. He does some sort of video thing, YouTube channel. And what was funny, though, is he said something about Iowans going nuts or something like that. So he didn't even get the state right. So I actually shared that and said, you know, if you're going to attack me, at least get the state right, because I'm not from Iowa, I'm from Idaho. So that was kind of a funny one. It's just more of any of the negative ones. They just kind of reiterate the past 2 years of what we've been, you know, being told that these are safe and effective, and these have been tested, and these have been approved, and yada, yada, and not even really wanting to dive down any deeper than that, you know, ignoring any of the facts, like the VAERS reports and the information that's coming out from the CDC even now, and from the different hospitals and, you know, different countries and everything, ignoring all that information and just solely saying, well, these aren't, you know, these are good shots. These are safe and effective because we say so now. And that's just not good enough. So they don't want to dive any deeper. They don't want to look into what's really going on. They just want to stay on the surface and just continue to repeat the same lies that have been told over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, these lobbyists that are always trolling the halls, the ones that would be opposed to your legislation, do they still try to talk to you, or do they just stay away from you? Like, in other words, do they try to work their magic on you and, whether it be, not, I don't think they're going to threaten a legislator, but I mean, do they still work you to some extent, or do they just avoid you and work on the people that they know they can easily convince or buy off?
Yeah, right now they just avoid me. I would say most of them already know my reputation, so they'll probably continue to avoid me. And I probably won't see them until committee for the hearing, which is fine. A lot of this, you know, there was a lot of money to be made in all of this. And so the hospitals are not going to want to give this up easily. The thing that I presented, though, in the committee is that, you know, there are shots that you can get for COVID that don't have the mRNA in it. So there are still options available if people are just really set on getting this or getting boosters or whatever the case may be. But this is very, very specific to mRNA. In fact, there's nowhere in the bill that even, you know, talks about actually COVID. It's very specific to the mRNA. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, I guess there's still choice out there. If people still really want a COVID shot, they can still go get one. It just can't be an mRNA.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an age-old problem that plagues humanity where, like you say, there's a lot of money in it, but yet not sure how people could sleep at night when they're making good money, but people are getting injured right. and dying.
Right.
And
that's the problem. It's the side effects, it's the consequences that are occurring. And again, I would say the majority, if not almost all of the population of people that have been doing this, did it under a false narrative. Informed consent is part of the issue that we're talking about here. And you can't have informed consent when you have no information or very, very limited information. So that's kind of the basis for, you know, and let's do some more studying on this. Let's find out. Let's let more information come out before we're subjecting people to this.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any federal pushback or influence or things you see going on behind the scenes, or the Fed's been staying out of this, at least as far as you can tell?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, yes. Right now, I haven't seen anything popping up that way yet. I think this will just be kind of a wait and see approach. And if, you know, if it does, if this bill moves forward, then there might be more input given down the road from other entities. But right now, in where it's at right now, I haven't had anyone reaching out that way. Just people that are very encouraged and interested in either participating or offering advice or just encouragement for bringing out this legislation.
Our honorary co-host Charles, he had a good question here that we were talking about the money issue, the financial incentives and reasons that the other side might be wanting to not make these shots illegal. Are you going to have any witnesses that would actually testify to the financial incentives that, you know, make the doctors and hospitals be on that side, on the side of the vaccine?
Right. I'm pretty sure with the different medical care workers that we're going to have with their respective professions, that they will probably be touching on that. In fact, there's a couple of them I know for sure will be touching on the money part of it because they saw it play out in their areas. I'm hoping they bring that out. We're also gathering some state information, so that's state specific on what kind of money came into our state. Because it was a lot of money. There was a lot of money that came in. And the hospitals did very, very well. So I'm sure that will be touched on and is a large component of why we did a lot of the things that we did. And I use we very loosely, but that will be part of it.
I mean, normally our show goes like an hour and 15, but I know you're probably very tired. So I was going to try to keep it around an hour and we're almost there. So how can people in the state help you best? And how can people outside the state help you best? Because I think, you know, both Idahoans and non-Idahoans watch the show mostly on archives. But if you could just outline how someone in Idaho can help you best, and then also how, you know, those of us that live outside of Idaho can help you best.
Sure. I would say first and foremost, again, thank you for having me on. The way that people can help us best, especially if they live in the state, I mean, if they have experience with any of these issues with being affected by COVID in any way, shape or form, or expertise to contact me, you can reach me at tnichols, NICHOLS, at senate.idaho.gov and let me know, because I will continue to take down people for wanting to talk or speak or testify in regards to this issue. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to let people know that this bill's out there. I mean, I have other states now contacting me because they want to try to run something similar in their state. So if you live in another state, let your representatives know that here's a great bill idea. One of the issues is that we're not experiencing the same issues that we were a year or 2 years ago. But at any given time, if something like this happens again, we could easily be put back into that situation again with a lot of different components. So that's the worry, is that we need to prevent things now based on what we learned and experienced from the past. And so, you know, other states need to also take the lead in doing that, because now that they have seen what can transpire, again, with using fear and a virus of sorts for the population, the general population, I don't put anything past anyone to do it again. So now's the time to put in preventative measures so that we don't experience the same thing again, and that it's handled differently if the need ever arises.
That's an incredibly important point. Is like, what have they got bottled up for the near future? Because you know,
yeah, who knows.
Well, let me just ask Larry, if Larry's still there, if he had any questions for you.
No, good show.
Okay. Well, Senator Nichols, it's been an honor to have you. I know you get lots of media, and this is a small show, but certainly going to do everything in our power to spread it around and get you support from outside of Idaho. And I know a lot of former Californians, because that's where I grew up, who've moved to Idaho, and they're definitely the kind of people that would love what you're doing. So,
well, I appreciate that. Yeah,
and some attorneys and some just great people, and so they wanted to thrive in their lives, so they came to Idaho to do it. So I'm going to be getting in touch with them, showing them the link to the show, and of course I'll provide you with the link to the show.
And, great, thank you.
Maybe just one more time, your email address, and if there's a like the Idaho legislative website and how they could maneuver through it to get to your information.
Yeah, so if you'll go to my email is tnichols@senate.idaho.gov, and my last name is Nichols. And you can look at all of our bills. If you go to our legislative website, everything is listed under there. And so that can be found by going to our site, which is legislature.idaho.gov. And so we can be found there. You can get all of our information, find the bills. You can even testify remotely. So when the hearing date does come and we have an actual hearing date and we're scheduled to be on the agenda, people don't have to actually just come down to the Capitol to testify. They can testify remotely. So that's kind of helpful. And so I encourage people to do that when the time comes.
That's awesome.
And then you can also follow me. I'll keep people posted on, you know, what's going on. I'm on a lot of social media. All my social media is under Nichols for Idaho. And I can be found on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I also have a website, nicholsforidaho.com. So you can contact me through there as well. But I try to keep people very up to date on what's transpiring and let people know when important pieces of legislation are coming out.
When people visit through the legislature, do they get on an email list from your office, or is it better to go to the Nichols for Idaho website to get on a list?
Go to the nicholsforidaho.com, and then you can actually sign up. I do usually a weekly or every 2 week newsletter. And so you can sign up for my newsletters on there as well.
Awesome. Well, if you just wouldn't mind for just a second, at the end of the show, to give people an idea where they can go watch the archives, go to agentfortruth.com, go to the radio show tab, live radio show. Better, I can't do it. Okay, here it is. And then scroll, and then you'll see if we're going to have a show on a Wednesday night, there's the Zoom coordinates to get on. And then we also have archive shows. As I said, this is show 95. And I've got, I think through show 93 is archived. So I got one more show to put up plus this one. But that's where people can go to check out the archives. And soon this show 95 will be archived. And again, just so grateful that you would spend an hour with us. And we wish you the best. We'll keep praying for you. And
thank you.
I wish so many more legislators were like you. So,
well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. And yes, please, anyone reach out to me and let me know how I can help or how you can help me. I'm just one person in the legislature. All of our legislators are just one person, or especially senators. They literally are one person from their district. So the more help we can get, the easier it is. And I just really appreciate your time. So thank you.
Grateful for you. Well, God bless you. And we'll hopefully have you on soon. We're certainly going to keep track of how well that legislation's doing.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care. All right, everyone. Good night. We'll see you on another Wednesday soon. Take care. God bless you all. Bye-bye.